I'm going to start out today with a confession. It was the other night on Jeopardy. You know what I'm talking about? The category for Final Jeopardy was the Bible. Now, this was regular Jeopardy, not the greatest of all time. And as soon as I saw the final category is the Bible, I said to Joyce, I got this. I don't know what the question is, but I already know it. And those contestants don't look like they know much about the Bible. So after the 10 minutes of commercials, they came back on, and this was the clue. What book of the Bible ends this way? Throughout all of their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it at night. I froze. My mind went blank. That little Jeopardy jingle was playing, and I didn't know the answer. You know the answer, don't you? Yeah, of course you know the answer. It's because you went on that Mediterranean cruise last week, and your minds are clear. Meanwhile, up in the mountains, you've thinned out up there a little bit. It must be the atmosphere. All three contestants got the answer right. Exodus. I was ashamed of myself. But the book of Exodus is a book about the people of God on a journey. Throughout all of their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle. Now, the cloud of the Lord would symbolize the presence of the Lord, and it tells us that they would not move, they would not walk unless the cloud was there, unless God was there. They knew that if God was with them, they would walk. Otherwise, they would stay put. Life is a journey. In fact, where's Ty? That offertory prayer was, is Ty still back there? Oh, there he is. Hey, Ty. Listen, you preached my sermon. You preached a 20-minute sermon in 1 minute. But it was great. What does that tell me? Life is a journey. As much as we would like to stay in one place, we can't do that. We're either moving forward or we're losing ground. And of course, faith is a journey. And there are many, many places in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, where faith is described as a walk, as it's described as a pilgrimage. And when Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he calls his first disciples, he didn't call them to sign a petition. He didn't call them to go to a seminar. He didn't call them to adopt a certain philosophy or theology. He called them to go on a walk, to go on a journey, and he said, "Follow me." The people of God are always on the move, and one of the most powerful symbols of God's people is when God's people are moving, when there is a walk, when there is a march. And talking about a march, talking about a walk, one of the most powerful stories in the history of this congregation goes back to a walk. So I want to ask the young people, I have a trivia question for you. How many of you know where this church was located? It hasn't always been here. Where was it located before it was where it is now on the corner of West 3rd Avenue and Hargrave? Anybody know? Where? Yes, Grace. Got it right. Oh, somebody was whispering. It was on Main Street. In fact, it was right where Caroline Gas Company is now. Tim Timberlake, you're here today. You knew I was going to talk about this. But isn't that right? The Baptist Church was where the gas company is. Just a little to the east of it. I got you. So you've corrected me. But Tim, I would have claimed it. I would have claimed it anyway, because do you ever feel like you're on holy ground where the old Baptist church was located? Well, that's all right. Tim, I get corrected all the time. That you call it children's time when I'm corrected. But the old Baptist church was located on Main Street. It was where the amphitheater is, kind of behind the amphitheater, not behind it, but on Main Street if you're looking down the hill to the amphitheater. So I have a question for all of you. How many of you remember January the 30th, 1955, when you went on a walk? Would you be willing to raise your hand? A lot of you do. A lot of you remember that. What happened on the day when the congregation left the old church on Main Street and they came to this building on West 3rd Avenue in Hargrave, they had a march. They gathered in front of the old church, and I have discovered that Dale Allred carried the flag. In fact, I checked on that this week. I did check to make sure that story was true. And Trish, tell Dale, I know why he's not here. He thought I was going to have him to carry the flag again today. We could reenact that. But it was a powerful moment when the congregation moved from the old church. And the reason they moved from the old church, they didn't have enough room to expand. In 1944, a new minister, J. Roy Clifford, came, and the church was growing, and they didn't have enough room to have Sunday school, and the sanctuary was overflowing. And at first, they thought they would build a new Sunday school building, but they didn't have enough room. And they started looking at this property that was known as the old Ford property. Lonnie Davis used to tell me that at one time there was a freed slave that owned this property. I'd like to know more about that story. But on the 30th of January, 65 years ago, with Dale carrying the flag, they marched from Main Street to this facility, and they had the first service of worship. There are many marches in Scripture. After the children of Israel had journeyed through the wilderness, they come into the promised land. And in the sixth chapter of Joshua, we hear the story about how Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And I know you know the rest of this. And the what? And the walls came tumbling down. But do you know that there was a march? In fact, there was a march for 7 days. For beginning on the first day, they marched all the way around the city of Jericho. And they did that each day until the seventh day, when they marched around 7 times. And then, John, the trumpets sounded. And when the trumpets sounded, the walls came tumbling down. In 1965, there was another march. There was a march in Selma, Alabama, trying to bring down the walls of racism and discrimination. I've always had a close connection with Selma, Alabama. My father was born in Selma. And 6 years later, his father, my grandfather, died in Selma. In 1965, at the midst of the civil rights crisis, Dr. Martin Luther King came to Selma to lead a march, all the way to the capital city of Montgomery for voters' rights, to allow people of color to register to vote. Many of you remember what happened. They didn't get very far in their march. They only got to the bridge. And there, the Alabama state troopers met them, and there was a terrible scene of suffering. Marchers were beaten. There was a lot of blood and there was a lot of violence. What happened that day was television cameras captured it all, and people across the nation and people across the world were horrified at what they were seeing. And a few weeks later, under federal protection, Dr. King and the marchers made that journey all the way to Montgomery, and that became a pivotal moment in civil rights. You see, walks can be positive and triumphant and victorious, like the walk to this church. It was a celebration. But walks can also be sad. Walks can be painful. And this walk to Emmaus that Judy was talking about was a painful walk. Barbara Brown Taylor calls this a walk of disappointment. Because these disciples, we know who one was, we don't know the name of the other one, they felt like they had lost every hope and dream that they had in life. The saddest words that they uttered on the way to Emmaus was, "We had hoped. We had hoped that He was the one. We had hoped that He was the Messiah. We had hoped that He was the fulfillment of Scripture. I had hoped. I had hoped it would work out. I had hoped." So many times we find ourselves walking to Emmaus. But this is what they discovered. Even though they didn't know it, Jesus was walking with them. And that's the way it is in life. So many times when we are the most discouraged, so many times when we are the most despondent, that is when Jesus walks with us. And when they discovered, when their eyes were open and they discovered that it was Christ, the walk to Emmaus, the long walk to Emmaus, became a joyous run all the way back to Jerusalem. So let's go on a walk. But before we go on this walk, St. Francis once said, "The way that we walk is a sermon in itself." He once took some of his brothers into a village. He said, "We're going to go preach." Well, they walked around all day long, but he never said a word. And when they got back, the brother said, "Well, Francis, you said we were going to preach today." He said, "We have been preaching. We have been preaching by the way we're walking." And then he said, "It is no use to go walk to preach unless your walking is in itself part of your preaching." So on this walk, we're going to look for some clues. We're going to look for some clues as to how we should walk when we follow Jesus. And I've got my walking stick. That always helps. But the first clue, Grace, you have the first clue. Tell me how I should walk.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
Thank you. Micah 6, 8. That was a wonderful theme at Passport, and you all remember it. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. So the first thing we learn is that we walk with humility. But you know, humility has almost become a lost virtue. There's some people that look at humility as being a weakness rather than a strength. You know what C.S. Lewis once said? C.S. Lewis said, "Pride is your greatest enemy, but humility is your greatest friend." So let us be humble, as Jesus was humble. You know, I was thinking about humility, and I thought about one of my favorite professors in seminary who actually came here one time and delivered the Parker Lectures, Dr. Alan Neely. David Whiteman, you remember Dr. Neely. David and I were in the D-Men program together, And Dr. Neely led the program. And one thing that he did was he had a number of people to come and to speak to us. He had different ministers and theologians. David, I don't know if you remember, but there was one time that he got this guy who you'd call up, one of the superstar preachers, pastor of a big church on television. He had written a lot of books. He was somebody that everybody would say was very successful. I don't remember who the guy was. I don't remember his name. I don't remember a word that he said. But I'll tell you what I do remember. Dr. Neely told us about going to the airport to pick him up and said when he got his bags, he asked the question, he said, "Who's going to carry my bags?" You know who carried his bags? Alan Neely. That's what I remember. We walk with humility. Connie, you have a clue for us. How else should we walk?
I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together.
Thank you, Connie. We are to walk worthy of our calling. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about our calling. We have been called from darkness into light. We have been called out of our sins into freedom and redemption. We have been called by God to become the children of the Heavenly Father. What an amazing calling. Now, the image, the word worthy in Greek is a balance scale. So you put all of that on one side of the scale, the way that we walk, the way that we live, the way that we love, the way that we serve is supposed to balance, supposed to be worthy. Thank you. John, you have a clue for me.
The third clue comes from Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us.
Thank you, John. We are to walk in love. Remember what Jesus did the night before he was crucified? He gave his disciples a new commandment. And that new commandment is that we love one another as he has loved us. So let me go over on this side of the sanctuary. I'm moving around for those of you on the radio. I'm going from one side to the other, and Whitney has a clue for us.
This clue comes from John. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from sin.
Thank you, Whitney. What does it mean that we're to walk in the light? This speaks of integrity. This speaks of the fact that our walk needs to be authentic. You know, in the prologue to the Gospel of John, the true light, the real light, the authentic light was coming into the world. It's the real deal. People in the world, people outside this church, they know authenticity when they see it. They also know when you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes. So we are to walk in the light. Jim, what's the clue you have for me about walking, brother?
Our fifth clue is found in the book of Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will have the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Wow. Thank you. To walk in the Spirit means that we have the fruits of the Spirit. There are nine of those. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. If we could walk like that, we'd be in good shape. Well, I'm going to go up here and visit the Mediterranean crowd. They went on a cruise last week, if you missed it. And here is Brother Will. Well, how should I walk?
You should walk joyfully, from Acts chapter 3. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God.
Thank you. We are to walk. You know what I love about that? That guy just didn't walk. He was jumping up and down with joy. He was praising God. I would demonstrate that for you, but I'm as old as this church. Okay, Wes, tell me how we're supposed to walk.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. I bet you have something else to add to that.
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.